Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer over at ColoradoHockeyNow.com, podcaster here at Mile High Sports. It's Monday. It's March 3rd. We're 4 days away from the trade deadline. I'm up bright and early. I'm talking Ryan Lindgren. I'm talking Jimmy Vesey. I'm talking the Avalanche starting the week of the trade deadline, Saturday through Friday, those last 7 days. They started the trades with that Ryan Lindgren move, shipping Juuso Pärssinen, Calvin DeHaan, a second and a fourth round draft pick. Both this year, the Avalanche have two of each. They're going to give the better one of each of them to the New York Rangers in exchange for Ryan Lindgren and forward veteran depth guy, Jimmy Vesey. I wanted to talk about this trade when it happened early Saturday morning, but I figured, let's call the spade a spade. At first, I was busy as hell. There was a lot to write, as is often the case when the Avalanche make a trade of this magnitude. It eats up a lot of your day as a reporter. So go to ColoradoHockeyNow.com. There is a ton of content from myself. And this morning after the trade from Colleen Flynn, after practice from Colleen Flynn, I should say from Sunday's practice, not this morning. This morning they will be taking the ice in a couple hours. But from Sunday's practice, Colleen Flynn had a little bit of a story on that as well. But a ton of writing from yours truly on Saturday. I also give my opinion on what I think the move means. Is it enough? Read all about it on ColoradoHockeyNow.com. If you run into one of the paywall articles, I got a promo code for you. It's Dean10, D-E-E-N, my last name of Arif Dean. Dean10 to get 25% off an annual subscription to CHN Plus content. You do not want to miss it. It's the cost of pretty much... I wanted to do the thing that people always do, very cliche, the cost of a coffee per month. But coffees cost like $7 or $8 now if you're getting a latte. So it is well lower than the cost of a coffee per month, because if a coffee is costing you 7 or 8 months, you won't even be paying that much for 2 months of access to Colorado Hockey Now's paywall content, CHN Plus. Go on my website, go to ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Any article you see that ends with that plus symbol at the end of it, those are the paywall pieces. And the one that I want to refer to you is the one from Saturday that I wrote. It's called Dean's View. Lindgren's addition addresses Avalanche need, but is it enough? That's the one that I want you to touch on. That's the one that I want you to check out. But I do want to touch on a few things. Number one, Ryan Lindgren comes to the Avalanche after pretty much spending his entire career and the young career of Adam Fox, the top defenseman for the Rangers, as the top pair blue line in New York. This year, they struggled. But this year, everybody on the Rangers struggled. We saw Ryan Lindgren, I believe he had some early season injury issues, I think in training camp, I want to say, but he's been pretty stable on their blue line ever since. He's played 54 games, so it sounds like he missed a little bit of action, I believe, in the beginning of the season. And I just want to verify that real quick. Yeah, he didn't start till October 22nd. And it took 5 games for him to get back up over 20 minutes. So he had a little bit of a period where he needed time to get back up and running. So that already slowed down his season. By the time he got in there, the Rangers were playing well. And then the big bombshell happened where the general manager, Chris Drury, went out and basically threw Jacob Trouba and Chris Kreider under the bus and made them available via trade. And then things kind of shit hit the fan from there. Lindgren didn't have a great season, but he kind of settled into his role a little bit better here recently, the last couple months for the Rangers. And this is a player who, despite all of that, still somehow is a plus one on a team that doesn't quite have a lot of guys in the pluses and hasn't quite scored at the level that they have in years past. He's also already reached his career high in points. And I say that kind of like with a grain of salt, for you to take it with a grain of salt, because here are the numbers from Ryan Lindgren's entire career. 14 points, 16 points, 15 points, 18 points, 17 points. This year, he's already at 19. That is a career high for Ryan Lindgren. However, the points are not what he brings. Plus minus is the easiest and most useless stat. Not most, but a pretty useless stat to kind of talk about what a player brings. So what exactly is Ryan Lindgren going to provide for the Avalanche? Number one, stability. The Avalanche this season have had 3 defensemen that they can rely on to play stable, heavy minutes. And when I say heavy, I mean 20 plus. Is Ryan Lindgren going to play 20 plus? But hell, even 15 plus, they haven't had more than three guys that have provided that consistently. Kel McCarr, Devon Taves, and Samuel Girard. Josh Manson obviously averages 17 minutes a night, but here's a problem. Josh Manson's missed a lot of hockey this year. Josh Manson has been injured a lot. In fact, Josh Manson is still missing from the lineup. He did skate with the team on Sunday. He will hopefully skate with them again this morning when we see the Avalanche hit the ice in a couple hours. But we're 61 games into the season. Manson's played 43. He plays 18 minutes a night, but he has missed almost 20 games. If he does not play on Tuesday, it'll be game 19 that he misses. This is a guy that last year played 76 out of the 82 games. He will not get anywhere near that number. But in 2023, Manson only played a third of the season. 27 games. He looked pretty good, but he's missing a lot of hockey, and that hurts the Avs. So without Manson, it's been McCarr, it's been Taves, and it's been Girard. Sam Malinsky, a lot of hope for him in the beginning of the season. That's kind of all dwindled down. Calvin DeHaan, I hated it from the first day. I did not think he was a good fit, nor did I think he was a good replacement for that Jack Johnson veteran number six guy. And the Avalanche learned that pretty quickly because he was not an everyday player. He's not a player that dealt with injuries, but he is a player that was healthy scratched pretty damn often. He only played 44 of the 61 games, and a lot of times he sat for Keaton Middleton. He played 14 minutes and 55 seconds per night with the Colorado Avalanche. So he wasn't really much of help. Speaking of Keaton Middleton, when he's been in the lineup, he's not playing all that much either. Keaton Middleton this year got into NHL action for the first time, I believe, since 2021. It's crazy to say he's played 28 games. But he's played 28 games, but he averages 10 minutes per night. So Ryan Lindgren, first and foremost, is going to give the Avs stability on the blue line. He gives the Avs another guy that they can roll out there consistently on the third pair, no less, something that they badly needed. On the third pair, and you know that he can defend. You know he can defend against other teams' top sixes. You know he can defend on the penalty kill. He plays with a physical edge. He's a responsible player. And for all the talk and all the flack that people have given him for his defensive metrics, especially away from Adam Fox, kind of taking a nosedive into the deep end in the wrong direction, the fact of the matter is, in New York, Ryan Lindgren was playing on the top pair with Adam Fox. Ryan Lindgren, when facing the Colorado Avalanche, for example, was lining up against Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen. When he's playing the Edmonton Oilers, he's seeing a lot of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. When he's playing the Vegas Golden Knights, Mark Stone and Jack Eichel are skating circles up and down the ice while Ryan Lindgren and Adam Fox are on the ice. That was probably the wrong example to use for skating circles because Mark Stone's not much of a skater. But you get the point. He played against the top competition of other teams. The Avalanche have Kale McCarr and Devon Taves. They play on Team Canada at the Four Nations 25-plus minutes. On the Avalanche, that's the norm. Kale McCarr and Devon Taves are usually attached to Nathan MacKinnon, going up against other teams' top lines, playing those heavy minutes. This is going to help them, and Jared Bednar admitted it. It's going to ease a little bit of the load off of those guys, but it's not going to take it off of them entirely. As in, Ryan Lindgren is going to be deployed in a much different way than he was with the New York Rangers. It kind of reminds me of when Josh Manson was brought in that first year that the Anaheim Ducks the first year that they started to really, truly sell off the 2021-22 season. You saw the Anaheim Ducks start to offload pieces. One of them was Josh Manson, and he's a guy that everybody predicted that after Ryan Getzlaf would retire, Manson would be the next captain of the Anaheim Ducks. But then they decided to go, and understandably so, the trade route instead, and they traded him to the Colorado Avalanche in the midst of a season where they only won 31 games. Manson played a lot when he was in Anaheim. He comes to Colorado, team that has Kale McCarr and Devon Taves, and he's tasked with second-line duties. This reminds me a lot of that. Manson's first couple years here fit so unbelievably well. Is Ryan Lindgren going to be here for a couple years? I don't know. That's a story for the offseason when the Avalanche have to figure out a lot of things. But for right now, what we do know is Lindgren's going to be on the third pair. He's going to be paired at least to start with Sam Malinsky. However, today's Monday. The trade deadline's Friday. I don't think the Avalanche are starting the game on Saturday against the Toronto Maple Leafs without another defenseman brought in to play on that third pair with Sam Malinsky, or sorry, with Calvin, with Ryan Lindgren in place of Sam Malinsky. Obviously, Lindgren took over for Calvin DeHaan. You still have Oliver Shillington in there as well. Is Shillington going to get slotted down if Manson comes back? Probably, but I think Shillington is more of a number seven defenseman. Or maybe Malinsky's a number seven defenseman and Shillington gets shipped out. All I know is I still think Lindgren's going to have a different partner in about 5 days from now, different from the one that he will have on Tuesday. Unless the Avalanche make a trade in the next 24 hours. Who the hell knows at this point? We've seen that Chris McFarland is very trigger happy and aggressive. In all the right ways, I should say. So, what we do know is he's going to start with Sam Malinsky. We also know he's going to play heavy penalty kill minutes. We also know the Avalanche love the way he plays in front of the net. We also know the Avalanche love the way he plays physically. These are all things that we're missing from the lineup. Is he a huge body? No, he's 6 foot, right around 200 pounds, but he's a mean-looking dude, and he plays a mean game. There are so many defensemen in the NHL that are 6'3", 6'4", and 6'5", and play nothing like that size. This is a man who is 6 foot, right around 200 pounds, like the very standard NHL size, and he plays like it. And that's the most important thing. We look at we think about Josh Manson like he's Eric Johnson. EJ is 6'4". EJ's a big dude. Josh Manson's not that big. He is a big guy, yes. He's 6'2", he's well over 200 pounds, but he's not 6'4", 225. He's not Nikita Zadorov, 6'4", 230, or 35 plus. But we look at Josh Manson like that, not because of his size, but because of the way he plays the game and uses the size that he has. This is exactly the way that Ryan Lindgren is. So is he the biggest defenseman? No, but does he address literally everything we've been talking about all season about the Avalanche needing physicality and a mean streak and a rugged blue liner? Abso-freaking-lutely. He does all those things. I think Ryan Lindgren is going to be a great addition. I think he's going to be awesome to have on the PK. Nothing against the guy. I don't really get to know him much, but I never liked anything from the start about the Calvin DeHaan addition. I thought, again, he was a terrible player to replace Jack Johnson. I didn't like the fit. I never liked seeing him on the PK. Like, Jared Bednar the other day called Oliver Shillington a high event player. And if you've ever heard that phrase before, it simply means he does a lot of good things, but he also does a lot of bad things. He's noticeable in every single way. And that was clear on Friday against the Minnesota Wild. I mean, Shillington had that beautiful, and I talked about this on yesterday's podcast, gorgeous no-look pass while skating toward his goalie. Turn around and just wires a puck to Jonathan Drouin. Catches him entering the zone on the rush. Drouin wires it past Gustafsson. That was beautiful. But Shillington, high event positive, is also high event negative. The first goal the Minnesota Wild scored was because of a turnover by that pairing and a misplay by Oliver Shillington. So if Oliver Shillington's a high event player, I don't want to call Calvin DeHaan a low-event player. I would call him a no-event player because it almost seems like he does nothing for you. Does he turn over the puck? No, because he never... Well, yes, he does turn over the puck. But is it always apparent? No, because he never does anything to advance the play. It just seems like a very dull fit. Having Ryan Lindgren replace that and play 16, 17, 18, and when you need it, 19, 20, or 21 minutes is going to be huge. I love the fact that Cale Makar and Devon Taves can have a lightened load with somebody like him. especially if Josh Manson can get healthy and can get consistent, especially if they bring in another player, you can have Lindgren and Manson killing penalties together. You're sure as hell going to have Makar and Toews still doing it, but at least you have another pairing that you trust a ton. It's not Calvin DeHaan and Keaton Middleton. It would be Josh Manson and Ryan Lindgren. And again, I keep saying this, and I'm going to keep saying it. I still think somebody else is coming, is going to appear in that locker room before the trade deadline on the blue line. So I do love what this fit is for the Avs. I do love the fact that Jared Bednar talked openly about the fact that he's very much aware of what the analytics community thinks about Lindgren, and he doesn't care because the Avalanche are a very analytics-heavy organization. But the public numbers you see are not always what the team has. Like, it's always going to be different what they have privately at their disposal. And there are things that they like, and there are things that they see both analytically and with the eye test that say, this is going to be a good fit. The deployment is going to be the big thing. I write about this in my weekly Monday column. If you haven't seen it yet, you'll probably see it by the time you're listening to this. ColoradoHockeyNow.com, the weekly Monday column is free content. It's not a CHN Plus paywall article. So go and check that out. But having him deployed properly against other teams' second and third and fourth lines is going to make Ryan Lindgren very dangerous, I would say. Hopefully the fit comes instantly. I know sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Hell, not just on defense, but on offense. Arturi Lehkonen took some time to kind of find his fit before, scoring the Stanley Cup clinching goal. Josh Manson took a little bit of time before he was a good fit in 2022. Casey Mittelstadt last year, before he had that great playoffs, took him a little bit of time to kind of find his stride. So I fully expect the same thing to happen, but you have 21 games left, and then I'll say it again, and no disrespect to Calvin DeHaan if he listens to this podcast for some stupid reason. He's going to at least be an upgrade on that. And that's the most important thing. In terms of physicality, I think this is going to be something that the Avalanche realize really quickly that they needed in their lineup. Parker Kelly leads the Avalanche with 116 hits. Ross Colton's got 104. Josh Manson's got 94, again, in a lot fewer games. Same with Ross Colton, actually. Joel Kiviranta's got 87. Calvin DeHaan, 59. Keep going down the lineup. Samuel Girard, 47. Cale Makar, 43. Devon Toews, 28. And again, those are high IQ players, Makar and Toews especially, where they pick their battles of when they throw the body around. But it is a blue line lacking physicality. And that much we know for certain. Now, Ryan Lindgren, he doesn't hit a lot. He's got 59 hits in 54 games, but he's a mean streak player. And by the way, 59 and 54 is a hell of a lot more than all those guys that I just listed. He's a mean streak player and someone who I think, despite the hits being lower, is going to give the Avs a lot of physicality and a lot of that tenacious edge on the blue line. And I think that's where his fit is going to be best. I think I'll end it there because I do want to come back and talk more about him after watching his first game. But first, I want to touch on Jimmy Vesey. Vesey didn't score a lot of goals or put up a lot of points this year, like a lot of the Avalanche's depth forwards. But last year he did, and this year, according to a lot of Rangers, reporters, fans alike, his deployment with Peter Laviolette hasn't put him in a position where he can produce. In the Avalanche system, he'll play a lot of PK. And I think he'll have an opportunity to produce. And if he does, I think that's great because this is something that I've said over and over and over again. The Avalanche have lacked having bodies challenge the Parker Kellys and Joel Kivirantas and most importantly the Miles Wood type of players for ice time. I talked about this on the last podcast. I've talked about this maybe 7 or 8 times over the last 2 months. The Avs, when healthy, have 12 forwards that are usable. Number 13 is Juuso Pärssinen before this trade. And that's not a guy that I ever saw getting playoff minutes. And if he did, he would be one of those guys that Jared Bednar plays 4 or 5 minutes. Just like Ivan, just like Yuri Inala, just like Chris Wagner, just like all those guys. Jimmy Vesey is a player you can trust. Jimmy Vesey is an NHL level type of guy. Pretty crazy that in his last 5 games, he's played 18 minutes once, he's played 17 minutes once, he's played 14 minutes once. So he's gotten a little bit of more ice time, but he's averaged 10 minutes and 40 seconds per game this year. Last year, 12:23. The year before that, 13:37. This is all in his second stint with the New York Rangers, where he was putting up before this year right around 25 and 26 points per season. So it is a player that has kind of lost his luster in the lineup with the Rangers, but he still plays heavy PK minutes. He's still got that offensive touch, and he's only 31 years old. And most importantly, again, it gives you another option. If Miles Wood has a bad game, you can put in Jimmy Vesey in a pinch. And if Vesey struggles, you can put in Miles Wood. If Parker Kelly or Yoel Kiviranta struggle, you can take them out of the lineup knowing very well, damn sure, that you have a complete 200-foot player that you can play on the PK that's got a scoring touch, that's going to play with a physical edge and can fit on your fourth or third or sometimes even second line. I don't prefer it, but it is possible. That's the beauty of having someone like Jimmy Vesey. I've talked about this for weeks. It gives you another option, and it's a better option than the one that you sent out the door, at least in terms of fit for you in this present time this year. Yusuf Parsonen is a young centerman, and he's someone that the Rangers coveted, and he might end up being something good. The fit here wasn't there. This one fits better for what the Avalanche need. So we'll see where it goes from here. Like I said, I'm heading to practice here in just a little bit. Chris McFarland is meeting with us today, the media, and he's going to answer questions, and I would assume we're going to talk to him again on Friday after the deadline. But first, you'll hear from him. So follow me on Twitter at RunRightArif. I'll have all the sights and sounds and quotes from Chris McFarland during that presser. I'll have a lot of writing coming up here in the next couple days. Colleen Flynn's also helping out at CHN Flynn, FLYNN, for her Twitter handle. Of course, ColoradoHockeyNow.com. 90% of the time, you'll see my name on the byline, but Colleen does quite a bit of writing, and she is wonderful. So she'll have some things up there as well. After that, we're going to go straight into the stretch run, but first we're going to get to the trade deadline Friday. And I'm sure I'm going to do another episode before Friday. I don't know when the Avalanche are going to make another trade, but I do think they've got one, maybe two more in their arsenal. So let's put an end to the show here. Talk to you guys soon. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless that pretty little heart of yours. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out you.